Well, good morning, everybody. Welcome to Cheesehead TV. I'm Aaron Nagler, and I'll be your host today. I don't know why I said any of that. Hope you guys are doing well. Good to see everybody in the comments section. Hope everybody had a great weekend. College football players going ham yesterday, last night, into the evening, late. Good stuff. Obviously, the Packers are continuing on with training camp. We heard from Coach and Alan Lazard yesterday. We'll be hearing from Brian Gutekunst and Jair Alexander later today. Practice starts on Saturday. I'm in Green Bay Sunday. Game on, people. Good morning. Joey the Jaguar, how are you, buddy? Big B, a lot of ball game left. You got that right. Attack the middle of the field, Janelle. As I'm sure you're alluding to, I did put up a post, a video last night about Aaron Rodgers not attacking the middle of the field, particularly in 2019, although it's been going on for a while. I did ask Coach about it, and I put a little piece together here on the YouTube channel. Hope you guys will check that out, like it, hit subscribe, tell your friends, tell your family. Exactly. Go Pack Go from Oklahoma. What's up, Thomas? Go Pack Go from New York City. Corey, hi from Australia. What's up, Corey? You're on lockdown. I saw Australia's going back down under. Forgive the phrasing, because of an outbreak. I hope you guys are staying safe, and you're welcome for the chats every day, 10 a.m. Eastern, and wherever that equates to wherever you are in the world. Denmark, speaking of wherever you are in the world, Salu, Go Pack Go. Safe travels to Wisconsin. Thank you. I got to admit, a little nerve-wracking, but we'll see. Let's say the Packers have a bad season, and we end up with the first pick. Do we still draft Lawrence, the QB from Clemson? No, they'll stick with Jordan Love. Washing your hands and butt has never been more true. Brandy, you're preaching. And hello. I haven't seen you around in a while. Hope you're doing well. Big B, you got that Williams goat message hot keyed yet? That's what I'm talking about, Tyler. Tyler's no fool. He knows what Big B's all about. I'm mad no one asked Devontae that during his presser. Yeah, I thought of it afterwards, I will admit. Didn't think of it in the moment. But after we got the Hermit soundbite, that was gold enough. Mackenzie, with a hard-hitting question. If you have a choice, Griffin or Snacks for the D-line? I think I get this question every chat, and the answer is always going to be Snacks. I love Griffin as a player. I think he'd complement what they're doing very nicely, but ultimately, it's about controlling the middle and help giving Kenny Clark help, which is where I think they, if they were to spend any kind of resources, I think that's where they should do it. I'm pretty sure they won't, but we'll see. Lewis, thanks for saying hello and good morning. Nags, how do you find it odd at all, Goody bringing in Turner for a workout, speaking of Malik Turner? I think the rule is you can only have players come in with the intent to sign. I did kind of try to find the actual verbiage of the rule you're talking about, and I couldn't find it over the weekend. I do believe that to be the case, and I do suspect they probably are going to sign him, but that is total guesswork on my part. Like I intimated in my post at Cheesehead TV, they did have him in for a cup of coffee back in 2018. He was a tryout player, obviously didn't make the team. But, you know, he's a guy who has some run after the catch ability, and I'm sure that would be intriguing to Matt LaFleur. Like I said, I would suspect they will sign him, but we'll see. I know there were other teams that had reported interest. Riley, thank you so much for the super chat. Let me get it on the screen here for you. Why do experts always forget about Arnie Herber when talking Hall of Fame Packer QBs? Just too long ago, or is he just a guy who threw to Don Hutson? I think, yeah, the Holy Trinity gets pushed a lot, even by the team. I mean, they had a shot, a photograph that they still available in the Packer Pro Shop of Bart Starr, Brett Favre, and Aaron Rodgers. Now, obviously, it's the broadcast age, right? I mean, one of the big parts of Vince Lombardi and the Packers becoming so iconic in the 60s was because it happened with the advent and the rise of television. You know, Arnie played way before things were broadcast. Now, we have some tape, obviously, but I think, you know, a lot gets made about pre-merger championships and so Super Bowls, et cetera. Arnie Herber is absolutely 1,000,000,000% in that conversation, and it should be included. There's no doubt about it. One of my favorite clips ever is Herber throwing from his end zone 65 yards in the air to a streaking Don Hutson on a post route for a touchdown. I mean, yeah, absolutely should be mentioned. But because of the way media works and the advent of television, he probably rarely will be. I bet Bears fans aren't diehard enough to talk football at 10 a.m. on a Monday. Oh, John, I don't know about that. I would say most people in Chicago regularly listen to sports talk radio. It's one of the best things to listen to after the Bears lose in Green Bay or in Chicago, but definitely in Green Bay. At the moment, though, I think most people in Chicago are worried about much more important things. A lot going on in that city today, if you haven't heard. When does AJ Dillon take Jamal Williams' number two job? Fire in the hole, Big B. I don't think it'll be outright. I don't think it'll be right away. I think it'll be a gradual thing. He's got to prove himself, especially in the passing game, before he can take meaningful snaps away from Jamal Williams. I do think it's a question of when, not if. And I suspect, now this is just guesswork, I suspect it happens probably, November, around that time, we'll start to see a switch. But again, that's assuming he catches on to the playbook and demonstrates that he can not only catch the ball but protect the quarterback. A lot to play out there. How can the Lions be so bad for so long? You would think they would accidentally be good. Bryson, that's cold, man. Well, they beat the Packers four games in a row, and that's probably as good as it's going to get for a while in Detroit. That's ownership. And, bless Martha Ford. I understand, she's comes from a long lineage of family ownership there in Detroit. And, I think she really messed up when they got rid of Caldwell. And I understand that's not her call per se, but she absolutely gave it her blessing. I think Caldwell got a real raw deal. And he was, while maybe not the most dynamic personality, he's one of the better coaches they've had, probably since Wayne Fonts. So, it's a mystery. Nicholas, thanks for the super chat. If Love is a bust and we still get two all-pro players out of the draft, would it be a failure in my opinion? No, it would not be a failure. You get two all-pros out of a draft? That's a damn good draft, no matter who you selected first. Follow-up. Excuse me, guys. If Dillon breaks out, do we consider letting Jones go? I think it really comes down to the financials there. If they can get, and they may even be hedging because of this and may even hoping for it in the sense that if Dillon looks great and continues to grow and develop throughout the season, maybe that drives Jones's asking price down so they can try and keep him. Because right now, obviously, as far as pointing to the tape and his importance in the offense, Aaron Jones is never going to have more leverage or at least an ability to say, I'm the guy who makes all of this work. Once they start playing games and AJ Dillon gets in the mix, that may change. So, there's a possibility they let Jones walk 100%. The longer he stays unsigned, he's not unsigned, but the longer he stays without an extension, the greater that possibility is. No question. Michael says, with the news that college football probably doesn't happen this year, is the 2021 draft the biggest crapshoot in the modern era? I mean, there's so much to play out. I don't know if you saw Dan Patrick's report earlier this morning, along with McLovin, talking about how Big Ten and one other conference are going to shut it down today, a couple others tomorrow. The SEC is hoping to play all on its own. So, and this is just the last hour. So who knows as far as what will actually transpire. And then you have everything going on with the players uniting yesterday overnight. I would suspect, yes, the draft will be unique. And we've already had one unique draft in the presentation of it this past offseason. Next year's draft is going to be crazy in the sense that, yeah, you're not going to have a year's worth of tape, most likely, on a majority of these prospects. And it's going to be wild. And I know people are talking about possibly playing in the spring. I can't even imagine that happens. I mean, maybe it does. But these guys playing in, April, May, the draft is in late April, right? What are they going to do, March, April? And then turn around, get drafted, and then go right back to work with an NFL team? Their bodies are going to be shot, man. I don't know. We'll see. But, yeah, it will become much more of a crapshoot than it already is. And it already is a crapshoot, but it will be exponentially so, given everything going on with college football. What are Kamal Martin's biggest strengths? Do you think he is inside linebacker two over Burks? He's got that potential, no doubt about it. It's Burks' last stand, right? So he's got to put up or shut up. As far as Martin's strengths, I really like his ability to diagnose. Doesn't take a ton of false steps, at least in the stuff I've looked at. Now, I've talked about his weaknesses. I think interior guys get up on him. It's a problem. That's the same problem Burks had coming out and continues to have. Hopefully he develops there. But I like his sideline to sideline ability. I think he's got a real good nose for the football. He's a real disruptor, sure tackler. But the biggest thing I like about him is his ability to diagnose quickly, and not take false steps and arrive, takes good angles. Something that, frankly, they have really kind of lacked along the interior in Green Bay for a while. Brian, thanks for the super chat. Lazard is going to ball out. He's a beast, and Packer fans can stop saying we don't have another wide receiver besides Adams. Carry the fucking G. That's the kind of super chat I like to get. Couldn't agree more. 1,000,000,000% on board. 1,000%. Well done. Love the shirt, Nags. Thanks. Available at the Cheesehead TV, what do you call it? The Cheesehead TV store. Let me throw up the link for those. And we got some new stuff, actually. I threw it up overnight. We've got an all gas, no fucking break hoodie and t-shirt. We got Four Fingers of Tequila t-shirt. We've got a Save the Kettle hoodie and t-shirt. Kettle of Fish is still about $10,000 short of their goal. All the proceeds from all of our sales of our sweatshirts and t-shirts that have Save the Kettle or Kettle of Fish on them, after the fees we pay to Teespring, everything, all those profits will go to Kettle of Fish. So if you've already given, thank you very much. Consider buying a t-shirt to help them out yet again and or a little bit more. And then you can have a memento to say, I helped save the kettle. Why do you think the run defense can be better with largely the same core? Is it the scene selling on the run more combo? Dane, gotta work on that English there, buddy. Why do I think they can be better? I do like the addition of Trayvon Hester. I do think Kingsley Keke will continue to develop and should help improve the play along the interior. I am wary of Mike Pettine and the amount of dime sub packages he plays. I don't see that changing a ton, but I do think after an offseason of such criticism and hyper kind of investigation into his scheme, I'm not talking from the media, I'm talking about internally, you got to think there'll be some kind of difference to how he approaches, especially early downs. He can't sit back and be so passive. You just can't, especially if he's going to play as much dime as he does. Those are just my rando thoughts. Frank, thanks for the super chat. With poor draft grades from this draft and lack of returns overall from previous drafts, could Goot get a reputation from being a poor drafting GM? I mean, it's a possibility, sure. I think it's way early. 2018 draft doesn't look good. There's no doubt about that. 2019 draft still has a ton of promise. And the 2020 draft, while panned by everybody on the outside, we have no idea. And look, let's be frank. If Jordan Love hits, none of the rest of it matters, honestly. I do think some will hit, but it's just very early. And I know in this day and age where everything's 24 hours, Twitter, instant takes, et cetera, everyone wants to talk about, you know, give a blanket statement and a condemnation right away. But we are way too early when it comes to Gutekunst to talk about him being a poor drafter. Also, poor draft grade. Who reads draft grades? Please. Do you think Mark Murphy is too much hands off, just a figurehead? Ricky, I'm not sure I agree with your police work there. I do find it interesting, though, because when he was deciding what to do when it came to Thompson and then finally pulling the trigger and then fired Mike McCarthy and then split up the powers as far as who reports to who, and then everybody reported to him and he was the head of football, everyone said he was too hands-on. And now people say he's too hands-off. And I get it. Every person is different. I'm not making a blanket statement about you in particular, but I think Murphy has done a phenomenal job in the last 5 years. I could quibble with a lot of how he handled Favre situation, he was brand new to the gig, so I think a little rocky, rough waters is to be expected. I think his leadership has been pretty damn good. And the way he's gone about not only the expansion of Titletown, but listening to his players, allowing his players to lead when it came to and it comes to the social justice issues, not just recently, but back in 2017. The COVID-19 response from the organization has been outstanding. That is due to his leadership. I just, you know, when it comes to the football side, no, I don't think he's been too hands off. I think he's done what he said he was going to do. He separated the powers. He has everyone reporting to him. You know, he meets with Brian. He meets with Matt. And for the most part, he's doing what I personally think people in charge should do. He's hired people he trusts and he thinks are good at what they do and what they've been charged to do. And then he steps back and lets them do it. If there's a crisis of some sort, or if there's something very important, he will step in if asked to. But he's not going to be overbearing. And that is all I can ask of a president and CEO of the Green Bay Packers. So, no, I don't think he's too hands off at all. When is Mike Spofford coming on Cheesehead TV? Big B, I will make it happen for you, buddy. It is going to happen. Join Patreon and support Cheesehead TV. Aaron White, that is the nicest super chat I've ever gotten. Next, do you think that there's any way that Rodgers is so much better than Love that he gets another contract? No. Thanks for the super chat, though. Any wide receiver on the market you have an interest in joining the pack? Not really, Nick. I know they brought in Malik Turner. I would suspect they're going to sign him. But outside of that, no. In your opinion, is Goot's career riding on the Jordan Love pick at this point, considering where he took him, jumping up, if Love is a bust, but Jace, AJ, Dylan, and a couple other ball out, is Goot safe? Evan? Unfortunately, no. I think, yeah, if Jordan Love is a bust, then yeah, Goody's done. It's that simple. And I know he could construct an amazing roster and he could have a ton of guys hit in the draft and make these great free agent signings, which he has completely revamped the defense last year, et cetera, et cetera. If Jordan Love is a failure, his time in Green Bay is probably up. And I'm not saying that's fair. I'm not saying that's the right way to go about it or it's, you know, but I got to think, yes, he and Matt LaFleur. Now we're like probably three, four years away from that, you know, unfolding and being able to make a determination, but, and that he has a lot of time to, you know, oversee the roster from now until then. But yeah, if it becomes very clear that they have fallen back into the malaise, the molasses of the NFL also rans because Jordan Love can't play. Yeah, he's gone. Who had the biggest say when hiring LaFleur between Gutekunst and Murphy? Oh, Murphy. Gutekunst absolutely was part of the process, certainly was there when they were interviewing him. He, and they've talked about this extensively, Murphy and Gutekunst and Ball certainly discussed it a lot amongst themselves after they talked to all the candidates, which ended with LaFleur. But Murphy's the one who pulled the trigger and made the final determination. No question. What else we got here, folks? Jeezy baby, that's hilarious. Matt, Ryan Pace still has a job. He does, but he doesn't work in Green Bay. He works for the McCaskies. Very different situation. Is it possible Rodgers stays away from the middle of the field from fear of turning the ball over? Yes. Do you think if Kevin King stays healthy, he'll get re-signed? That is a really good question. If he stays healthy, I would suspect he has another productive year because I think, once again, teams are going to shy away from throwing at Jaire Alexander, which is going to give Kevin a ton of opportunities. But because of that, if he does stay healthy, he is productive. He is going to drive up his price in a way that is probably going to price him out of Green Bay. And that's no knock on Kevin. I hope he gets paid a monster second contract. But given all the mouths that need to be fed in Green Bay, I can't imagine they're going to break the bank after presumably re-signing David Bakhtiari and Kenny Clark, and then also probably Aaron Jones. It just seems like a lot, but we're a long way from that, one day at a time. I hope he does. I hope he balls out. I hope he stays healthy, and I hope he's really productive. With college football possibly going away this season, it'll be impossible to rank the upcoming draft. Packers could look quite smart for grabbing Love when they did. Thoughts? I guess, Corey, sure. You know, most evaluations should be held for 3 years anyway. Obviously, they never are. But if you're looking at evaluating the pick and what the Packers did, you can only work with the information that they had and we all had at the moment. You can't, you know, project, oh, he should have known there was, or maybe they knew a global pandemic was coming. Oh my gosh, they look smart. I don't really think it works that way. Joseph. Yes, yes, they have. Spielman has been a good GM overall. Would you agree? I think he's done he's done a better job drafting. I'll say that. His drafts have been pretty damn good. I don't know about the whole Kirk Cousins thing, and that's a pretty damn important piece of the pie there. But yeah, I think he's been solid. You know, I like to joke online, obviously, about the Vikings, and I know they're talking contract extension with him, etc. Yeah, I think he's done all right. He's done pretty good, actually. Nags, we are on social media. That makes you a doctor. Thoughts on COVID? My thoughts are mask up. All right, everybody. I got to go. Thank you so much for joining me, chatting with me. I'm sorry if I couldn't get to your question. There are 245 lost souls here on a Monday morning, but thank you so much for joining me. Please hit like on this video, subscribe to the channel, tell your friends, tell your family. Cheesehead TV, we are devoted to Green Bay Packers fans worldwide. Thanks a lot, everybody. Have a great day. Go Pack, go.